Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ezus Hashem, Shalom Bayis, Shir number 145. We're talking about five very practical step action plan to a happy and healthy marriage. And we are in the middle of step number four, which is after you are connected and you remove the negative energy. Now you're learning to get into each other's world and you're learning to speak and listen, all for the purpose of connecting. And we said that no matter what subject matter you're talking about, even if it's a difficult topic, the main purpose behind all of this is to connect. And we started to talk about learning how to listen, which is a very big topic, and it's a skill. Because people become defensive when they listen. When they want to listen and their husband or wife is expressing something that they're hurt by, that they did, and they get defensive. But even if you don't become defensive or you don't become confrontational, there's still ways that would be discounting the feelings, and then there are ways of supporting. So, for example, when you are commiserating, you know, you say, I see, I hear you, I understand, and you feel for them. But sometimes, let's say if someone, husband or wife, says they're anxious. So sometimes one is prone to just give unsolicited advice. You know, you should do some breathing exercises before you speak or before you do anything, or take some medication if you feel so anxious. That's unsolicited advice, which could be hurtful. Or discounting the feelings. You shouldn't be nervous. Don't worry about it. There's nothing to worry about. So here you're not you're being, you know, there's no defensiveness or confrontation, nothing negative, but there's really nothing accomplished. And they feel really empty. In other words, the responses, you mean well. So nervous, he's saying, oh, do breathing exercises or take some like a pill or to calm you down or, you know, don't worry. You mean well, or, you know, you just commiserate, but it leaves the person unsatisfied or unheard. Or for example, you know, you say, I know what it's like to get nervous when I speak, or you know, don't worry, you'll do a great job. So again, you mean well, but the person that's listening feels unheard. Why? Because still you're more focused here from a place of anxiety. You know, true listening is really when you're going into the other person's world. And when you do that, the listener doesn't throw in their own opinions. They're completely focused on the other person. So at right now, even words of encouragement, you don't say. Your task is to make sure that your husband, your wife is truly understood. And especially when you're dealing with touchy subjects. So that's what it is. You leave your world and enter the world of your spouse. And the question is, the problem is very often when you try to do that, you say, hey, that my spouse, my husband, my wife, they're completely wrong. Makes no sense what they're saying. Well, they don't have their facts straight. But it doesn't make a difference. Because right now, it's not a matter of right or wrong. It's not a matter of right or wrong right now. Because each one feels they're correct in their eyes. And the key really is it may not make sense to me, but it makes sense to her or to him. And accept that you're in a relationship with another person and that other person has their own view, their own experience, their own unique way of looking at a situation. And they have a right to their opinion. So really, the idea is that the listening is so powerful, because very often it seems on the surface that you're upset about one thing, but really you realize it's much deeper. So for example, here's an example. A husband comes home and expresses some anger or annoyance at the house being so messy. So the wife could be reactive. He really shouldn't do that. That goes without saying. And he shall learn not to do that. But if this happens and the wife hears this, she could get defensive, which is understandable, or angry herself. Or she could develop this emotional maturity to develop curiosity for his story. What's really bothering him? And when she, if she's able to be calm despite his frustration and not take it personally and not be reactive, but try to listen to him, she will discover that what's bothering him is something that happened at work. It's not really the messy house. And she'll feel relieved that it wasn't about her at all. It's not about how bad she is and how she doesn't take care of the house. It has nothing to do with her, really. It's just that he's frustrated about something else. It came out this way. And he feels compassion. She feels compassion to him. Or they could have a dialogue and she'll discover that when he was a little kid, her husband, the house was often messy because the family relationship was not healthy. And she develops a compassion and she understands now why he's so sensitive to a more messy house, which has nothing really to do with her. And that removes a lot of the, you know, negative feelings because there's an understanding there. Then he says something that is such a big yesod here, such a big foundation. When these things happen, when one is upset at the other seemingly, and then when you have conversations, you realize there's more to the picture, and it's really not that you're upset at your spouse directly, but you're upset at something else. This is a 90-10 rule, he calls it. What is a 90-10 rule? Listen carefully. This rule dictates that 90% of anything that intensely bothers us is due to triggering of a past experience or a past feeling. 10% of our reaction is due to what's going on right now. This is a tremendous yesod, and I thought about it for a long time, and this is so, so true. And the shiurim, I believe, on the feedback, when we or on the Panimi group, when we discussed this Terence Reel's work regarding the childhood feelings of an adult, and how they are triggered by previous experiences, this is very, very true. So in the past, in the previous case, when a husband comes home and gets annoyed at his wife that the house is so messy or whatever it is, or a wife gets very annoyed at the husband for not picking up something that he was told to pick up, it's only 10% has to do with that particular issue of what just happened. The messy house, or they're not picking up what you were told. 90% of that has nothing to do with that. What's bothering us is a trigger from a past experience. And if you think about it, you'll realize how true that is. The strong emotions are the old feelings reawakened by this incident. Now, it doesn't absolve them. Again, we're going like a tchila. The initial healthy way to handle this is to nevertheless take responsibility. It makes no difference that I'm triggered. I have to work on that. And I have to talk respectfully regardless. But this helps tremendously. When a husband comes in and he's grouchy, he shouldn't be. He should be respectful and kind. But if he happens to be grouchy, it's helpful for the wife to know that 90% of his grouchiness is nothing to do with her at all. It's triggered by upsetting events of the past of what happened. And that helps her not be reacted when she's confronted by his strong emotions or her criticism. And it goes the other way around too. The wife is yelling, raising her voice at her husband about something and not saying such nice things. And again, it's not an excuse. She should learn to speak more respectful to him. But he, in turn, it's helpful to him to recognize that 90% of it has nothing to do with him. She's triggered by a painful experience of the past. And you look deeply into this, you'll see how true this is. So, because when, and if you believe that and you recognize that, then anytime you have a moment of contention or there's some tension between the two, remember this. Your spouse, your husband, your wife is not picking on you. It's rather that he or she is in pain. And right now it's time, instead of reacting, you know, responding in a defensive way or getting angry or upset, now you learn as a mature adult to be a little curious about her story or his story. What's going on here? And that's part of listening. And that helps us realize that our spouse's frustrations are, generally speaking, really not about us. If you look deeply, deeply into it, it's not about us. And when we come to that realization, we feel less threatened by their grievances. And we could be more receptive, more open to them, more open to their needs. And this concept and this idea eliminates so much needless conflict that comes from misunderstandings, that comes from being reactive. But again, if you recall always this 90%, 10% rule, that usually it's only around 10% that this incident is the issue, this particular incident. And 90% is something that's triggering them from the past or whatever it is. You'll realize that, for example, also as an example, is that something came up, husband or wife was upset about something about to the other. But if, just think about it this way, if they would catch themselves and not be reactive and not be harsh with their words, but be kind. You're a wonderful person. I love you very much. You're great. And you're the, you know, you're the best one for me, and you're beautiful and you're wonderful. There's something that I got reacted because I felt afraid or I felt threatened by something that you said. And I just want to let you know that hurt me or made me feel insecure. If you talk in that loving tone, the other one will respond much more in a sensitive, caring way. Naturally, it's going to happen. So that's ideally what you should start out doing. But one needs to realize that even if that didn't happen and they spoke harshly, but if you're mature and you recognize, hey, let me be curious about what's really going on, you'll sense that this is coming not from an attack against you. It's more a fear or insecurity that's talking. So this is the idea. The idea of this book, Rabbi Shlomo Slatkin, it's based on something called the Imago Couples Dialogue, which, frankly, I have to research a little more, and believe me, I will. There's a couple, a non-Jewish couple, Hendricks, their name is, that goes through this theory. But the idea behind that theory, which again, I will believe need to do more research on, is to follow a formula of creating dialogues, conversations between a husband and a wife, a new way of talking that may feel uncomfortable at first, but it does amazing things. Because what happens is if you learn to talk to each other in this way that is described, then couples will love the results. Why? Because it allows them to talk without any fear of interruption, without any fear of retaliation. It slows things down. It allows them both to be heard. And he said, the Shlomo Slatkin, again, I got to do research on what he means exactly. But he said that couples explained when he had one session with them using this method of teaching them to communicate to each other this way, that they had not had such a conversation in years, if ever. Now, the problem won't be solved in one session, but it leaves a hope that you can learn this skill of how to communicate and connect with each other so that you could get into a safer and healthier place. Because the truth be told, is we all do want a relationship, but we are scared. We are scared, we are insecure, and we're afraid of being vulnerable or being hurt. So we hold ourselves back and we get defensive and we put walls up in our relationships, especially with the ones that we're to care about the most, our own husbands, our own wives. So the way to go about this, because you really want the connection, but you're afraid, or insecure, is to create a safety area to learn how to trust each other again. Because if you don't learn how to be safe and trust each other, you'll never engage in the relationship. And this lack of safety will come about by them deciding, I'm not going to talk, I'm not going to open up, or I'll attack if I get, you know, I want to get attention, I'll attack the other person. And the reason why, this is also a big aside, people wonder, they go to marriage therapy, couples therapy, and they say, why doesn't this counseling work? Why is it ineffective? And the shayrish of why often it's not effective is because there's still a feeling of lack of safety between the husband and the wife. Because the husband is saying to himself, I'm paying money for this counseling, couples counselings. So I don't want to pay this so that my wife could sit there and shame me and blame me for everything in front of a stranger. And the wife say the same thing. Why would a wife want to pay to be told that she's the problem, she's wrong, she has to make the changes? So that model of counseling creates more machlokes and more tension. The healthy counseling of a couple is to create with that third person, the one who's counseling, an atmosphere of safety, an atmosphere of mutual trust or a building of a trust. Then both husband and wife will be more motivated to be willing to invest financially and their time to work together and go together to a third party, an objective counselor, mentor, because they know they feel safe there and they could express themselves and be respectful to each other. And that is really the key. That is really the key. So if a couple could learn to do this on their own, to make themselves feel safe for each other, that's beautiful. If not, that third party, the counselor, needs to do that for them, to help them get to that point where they could work through with each other in a safe way and truly listen and understand and reflect each other's feelings to each other. And this gives them a deep, deep satisfaction of, you finally understand me. And that is the Pesach. That is the opening to clear and more beautiful understanding between the two that builds a beautiful mound going forward in their relationship. Bracha and Hatzlacha.